Welcome to Voices
Love
of Freedom.
Talk Radio.
Hey, it's great to have you here. Missed a day yesterday. We had to get out and get moving a little quicker than normal. But we're glad to have you here. We're always glad to have a chance to talk about Jesus. And a thought that crossed my mind today was everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Some people would say, well, it beats the alternative of hell. Of course it would. But where did you come up with the idea of wanting to go to heaven? Well, about every place I've ever seen it talked about was in the Bible. And there's movies that have taken, you know, parts of the Bible, made movies out of it, and, you know, society's taken parts of Bibles and, you know, made phrases like the Doubting Thomas and the writings on the wall, and, you know, those sayings or cliches or, you know, little one-liners have lasted for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. But if we want to get to this heaven that's talked about in the Bible, doesn't it make sense that we would read a little bit further and find out if everybody gets to go? Because, you know, when you say it like that, you start thinking, well, who does get to go? Well, it says in the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a pretty big promise, isn't it? If you call upon the name of the Lord, you surrender to Jesus Christ, you can be saved. So it's not a rich or poor thing. It's not a man or woman thing. It's not a skin color thing. It's an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ. Man, oh man. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then I read over there, and I think it's John chapter 1, verse 11 or 12. It says that as many as receive him, as many as receive, which is to have enough faith to believe that Jesus was a man who walked on the earth. He was a man who had a death, a burial, a resurrection, how he shed his blood in a tragic way. That shedding of blood is where the remission of sins come from. And because of the remission of sins, now you and I have an opportunity to have our sins forgiven. You won't look back through the Old Testament and find a situation where sins were forgiven symbolically without the shedding of an innocent animal's blood. So in the last days, God sends his son. They call him Jesus. He's coming toward John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, look, behold, the Son of God who taketh, or the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Boy, isn't that something to think about for just a little bit? Now, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Well, what else do I got to do? Well, I got to make sure I understand that I have to surrender to Jesus because he has to be in the front of my life and lead my life for me to get there. We had a great discussion last night at church. Listen, if you're not going to get into this thing and understand it, that everybody's not going, that you have to call upon the name of the Lord, that you have to surrender a little bit of yourself. Read in Romans chapter 12:1, where it tells that you become a living sacrifice once you surrender to Jesus Christ. Now you say, what in the world is a living sacrifice? Well, let me tell you what. Any kind of a living sacrifice beats most of the sacrifices of the Bible because most of them were required to be dead. Right? Even when God has Abraham to offer up Isaac, he makes him take the 3-day journey and think about it for 3 days, makes him take Isaac up to the mountain, makes him tie him down like he's going to burn him there on the open flames after they've got the kindling. And Abraham raises his hand and God says, do no harm to the child. Then it says off there on the side there somewhere in the next verse or two, it says, and God provided himself a sacrifice. And there was a ram caught in the thistles over there. And that made the offering. Because God was going to have an offering that day. You see, a life was going to be shed. And we're supposed to look at those lambs and turtle doves or whatever those little things were that, you know, whatever, I mean, there was different levels of sacrifices for different things. But when you stop and think about all of this, you know, you stop and think about all the different sacrifices in the system. I think it was Leviticus where you can read on some of that and how everything meant something else. You know, the Passover, they took the Lamb of God, right? And they raised that lamb and kept it separate. They maybe even took it in the house like we would a dog or a cat nowadays, and they took care of it real closely, and they, you know, they bonded, so to speak, with the animal for the period of time before, you know, they offered him to the Lord. It's to get you to think about the cost of the surrender. And when Jesus dies on the cross for you, that's a major surrender. You see? It's a major surrender. Now, so I want to go to heaven. I know I got to surrender. You say, how do I know I got to surrender? Well, I mean, we pretty much see it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you got to call on his name. I got to have a need. I got to see a need in order to surrender. The second thing was, as many as received him. So I've got to be willing to receive. I've got to see myself as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ, that I'm going to go and do the things he wants me to do now. It quit being about Brooke Lunsford in March 1997. Should I do better for Jesus? Absolutely. Should we all? Absolutely. But we've got to surrender. We've got to get into this thing the way Jesus wants us to get into it, to get into heaven. Because when I get over to John chapter 14, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. This is Jesus in his own words there in John chapter 14. So let me start back at the beginning. In the beginning, or let not your heart be troubled, is what the first verse says. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Philip, I think, is the one that said, hey, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what do we have there in that scenario or situation? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father who is in heaven but by me. Listen, we're not going to fool anybody. And that's the biggest, scariest thing that we've got going right now, is I really believe there's a big bunch of people that are going to try to be their own lawyer when they face Jesus. And that's one of the biggest things they say in this world is don't ever try to be your own lawyer. You know, it's the same thing coming face to face with Jesus. You have nothing. You have nothing without Jesus. You have nothing to plead your case. God won't even hear your case. He'll look at you and see that the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't cover your life and say, depart from me, I never knew you. And then we'll be screaming and hollering, hey, we didn't know, we didn't know. And God's going to say, you had 9 Bibles at your house. If you didn't know, it's your fault. See, we just got this picture of God as a grandfatherly type of God instead of a father. So we just got this idea that, you know, they're just going to love us and we'll treat them like dirt and then, you know, everything's going to be fine. It's not going to work that way. In fact, I was reading a little bit about sin last night, and it said, you know, one of the big problems with sin is just how much it continues to mount up. You know, of course it would, but there's a, you know, you're not, I think some people say, well, I'm not going to choose God, but I'm not going to not choose God right now. There's no middle ground, because that is a slap in the face toward God. When the more that we, every day that we don't come to Jesus is a slap in the face to God. God's plan, God's son, right? And that's the thing that's so dangerous. And that's why when you get saved like me, when you're 30, you're like, wow, I should have got saved 20 years ago, because, number one, it was the right thing to do. But number two, there's something else. The other thing was there's a service. There's a life of doing something. Excuse me. There's a life of doing something for Jesus. There's a service here. There's Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, be witnesses where you're at locally. Be witnesses to the Samaritans, which were people that didn't really like the Jews, and the Jews didn't really like them. Right? But it said, go witness to these people. They all need it. And then it said, third, go to all the world. Man, oh man. How big is the territory for Jesus? The whole world. How small could the territory for Jesus be? Your neighborhood. See, everybody needs to see you as the light of the world, because Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but I'm going to go to heaven. And when I go, you all, ye will be the light of the world. So this broadcast goes out every morning like a lighthouse. You can choose to listen. I try to put enough in the title to so you get at least something. But if you listen and if you just read John chapter 14 every day, you'll be a better person for it. If you would just surrender all the things that have got you slowed down, just surrender those things. See, surrender to Jesus and he'll take care of the rest. Surrender to Jesus. See, God's got a master plan on this thing. He's got this all figured out. He knows everything that there is to know about it. And the thing about it is, it's just started to dawn on me in the last few years, but Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Well, there is no end for us. We're going to live forever. There is no end for God, or he wouldn't be God. So guess what? God was there in the yesterdays of our life. He's there for the today of my life. But most importantly, he's already with me in a place called heaven out there. He knows how I'm going to suffer. He knows how I'm going to react to the suffering. He knows what I'm going to be able to carry through. He's got this thing all figured out. And he's going to carry me right on through, all the way to heaven. I invite you to go. It's not for everybody, because everybody won't surrender. It's not for closet Christians. Now, there's probably a few that are real closet Christians that truly just don't like drawing attention to themselves. But for the most part, if you're ashamed of Jesus, Jesus is going to be ashamed of you. And that's in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, somewhere in there. So what's the point? The point is you've got to go to the heaven of the Bible. You've got to get into the Bible. You've got to start reading it. You've got to surrender to Jesus. You've got to get into a position where God can use you. But the first way he wants to see you come to him is brokenhearted and understanding that you had a need for a Savior. If you'll do that, he'll do what he needs to do, and you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same again, and it's a wonderful feeling. It is a great situation to know that Jesus Christ, man, oh man, he loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. Have a great day.